Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
8:36 Central African time, and we get into the segment called Parliamentary Tunes with none other than Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam, Member of Parliament and leader of NFP, a firebrand that also adds value to Islamic broadcasting. Ahmad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning, Ahmad?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, nice, much cooler day in the city of Durban. But I can tell you this morning, I found one of the most strangest things you can find. People are fully covered with some coats and jackets and whatever you call it, but they're on the beach in the water. So I don't have any one of those things before. I cannot actually understand. And not one. In abundance. I don't know if there's been some tourists in order or from other provinces and things. But what was strange is they all have these jackets and coats and things, but it's cold. But they're all in the water. So I don't know. But anyway, It's the way it seems like it. Well, the Van Rienen's path, Brother Javut, there is some serious concerns of what is going on. Their trucks are being set alight, heavy-duty vehicles. Apparently, they're being held at gunpoint and things. So it's a no-go area, both from those people that are traveling from Johannesburg and or from Durban in both directions. So I want to urge brothers and sisters to stay away from those areas completely. If you're planning to travel between Durban and Johannesburg, entry is a no-go area at this moment, particularly the Van Rienen's pass. That VIP unit and what has happened there is now we subsequently learned that the members that were attacked on the ground were members of the defense force and the military. Police against the military. How do you like that one? But no doubt about it, VIP units get away with murder, do as and what they please, because they feel that they are well connected as well by the looks of it. Eh? So, yes, I think something needs to be done about that. Your Woolworths looter gets away with murder. Mm. He gets a suspended sentence. How do you like that? So, where is the message you're sending out to the masses? You know, when you give somebody of this nature a suspended sentence. Clearly, you're not sending out the message there, to be honest with you. Another 300 as a result of in KwaZulu-Natal, of course, a fire in an informal settlement. 300 people are now affected by this, and apparently there's a death as well. Medical negligence claims in South Africa in the public sector alone in the last 3 years has gone over 4 billion rand. Can you imagine? 4 billion. And even in the private sector, billions of rands are being paid in negligence medical claims, which is resulting in many medical practitioners, particularly gynecologists and others, who are very reluctant to pursue this particular career because of the number of claims that are coming. And at some stage, it appears there's a level of collusion between employees, lawyers, and so-called victims or claimants in this case. So, yes, everybody's looking for an opportunity in the conducive South Africa for crime, you know, to try and make a quick buck. That's basic. Over 700 prisoners all over the country currently are over 60 years of age and who are serving life sentences. Can you imagine? Over 700 over the age of 60 life sentences for various crimes.
So what do you do there, Ahmad? If you were Minister for Justice and Correctional Services, would you release them on parole?
Well, to be honest with you, I think at that age, you're not going to actually expect them, depending on the severity of the crime that they committed. But what I can tell you is that a very large percentage of detainees or inmates, when released on parole, commit crimes again. Very large percentage of crimes are committed by repeat offenders. But I think when you talk about prisoners that are over 60 years of age and things, the problem you got is that when they come out, if you don't have a program to reintegrate them into society, Now, let's assume you spent 20 years in prison. So it means the best part of your life, you only know prison life. Now you bring them back into society. They have got no jobs, to really no homes to go to, nothing. So that's not one of the reasons why they go back into crime, what they know best. So until you have a program that can reintegrate them into society, and yes, there are many others that have stayed in prison that have either graduated or got all kinds of skills, and then that helps. But in the absence of that, you know, a lot of them go back to crime. You know, even some of those pagan leaders that were released have been rearrested, to be honest with you. I still believe that the pagans were there basically to commit to protect ordinary civilians and South Africans. And it's unfair that they are still detained while, many others are getting parole for murder and all kinds of crimes committed. But be that as it may, a very large percentage of detainees commit crimes when they are released on parole. And that's one of the problems. And then the parole system is not effective enough. Parole officers don't visit them on time, don't ensure that they comply with parole conditions, which makes it quite, problematic. Of course, I think you would have seen the statement by Fikile Mbalula, your favorite man, movie star, and how he took on the media when it came to Putin and how he told them, what about Iraq and what about here and what about there? Yeah. Now he's coming up in defense of the president against Mantashe and says that ANC Luthuli House will take support the president if he has to take action against Mantashe for not supporting the president.
Well, alliance between Fikile Mbalula and our deputy president Paul Mashatile, that's making headlines, and lots of stories coming out that they are living in ivory towers, Ahmed.
Brother Shepherd, in simple terms, would I be correct in saying that they are supposed to be one family, the ANC family? But can you see how they have split into camps and divided, and the comments they make and abuse at each other and attack? And now Ace Magashule is coming in support of that service provider with that 100 billion rand claim against the ANC, because he's now, all along he was the other side, and the moment he's got a problem, now he's the other, jump ship. It clearly is. That's what it is all about. Eh? Nowhere in their vocabulary, is it about the people. Nowhere.
Now, would you say, Ahmed, that under the leadership of Zuma, that the ANC was more united than under Ramaphosa? Because under Ramaphosa, everyone does his own thing, Ahmed.
I think President Zuma had a greater grip over his people. There's no doubt about it. But remember, one of the reasons why you're having that right now is because of also President Zuma. And of course, with the Zondo report and all corruption and, and everything. So, those that are aligned to Zuma or implicated in one way or the other are fighting Cyril Ramaphosa. Brother Jeff, but even if Cyril Ramaphosa goes tomorrow and the next person comes, it's going to be exactly the same. Nothing is going to change. It's just unfortunate that President Ramaphosa is in the wrong place at the wrong time. That's the unfortunate thing. That he has to go. And remember, you've got the opposition and everybody else attacking President Trump. What are you doing about the Zondo Commission report and all the corruption? And who is he going to have to deal with? Against his own people. So that's why his own people will fight him. Actually, these people are fighting him because everybody else is putting pressure on him to do something about it in any event. So you find yourself in a very difficult position if your people have been implicated in one way or the other, and they have been implicated. And it's been going on for a very long time, and it continues even up to this day. So it makes it very difficult to govern, to concentrate on govern on, you know, taking sada. It's very difficult because, you know, you can't even sleep in peace because you don't even know if your faithful security bodyguard VIP unit will tomorrow put a knife through you. You don't know that.
Mm.
This is how bad the situation is. So, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I want to fast forward here and go to an article. You know, you sent me a clip about Jeffrey Sachs, and he says it's about China, but it's not about Ukraine. I want you to, you know, perhaps fill the listeners in on that very informative clip you sent me.
Well, I've said it time and time again in Parliament as well, in my media statement. It's a proxy war. This war's got nothing to do with Ukraine. Ukraine just foolishly found themselves in the wrong place and decided to fall into the trap, and that's why they're paying the ultimate price. They are virtually bankrupt. They're going to have to pay back all this, or very major conglomerates in Ukraine is now going to be under American control. This is what it is all about. The real war is against China, because China is emerging as the global powerhouse. And the United States of America is threatened by this. There's no doubt about it. They threatened, first of all, by Russia, because Russia is a nuclear powerhouse. And then you've got China, which is hitting them from all angles, whether you talk about trade, whether you talk about military, China is taking over. So the United States' survival depends on creating mayhem and chaos. So what they've done is they've decided to create this war, and that's why we call it a proxy war. And many of them have raised again and again. So, you know, it's very unfortunate that the Ukrainians had fallen into the trap, and they've been warned and warned and warned, and they did nothing about it. You can't go and fight even Russia and think you're going to walk all over Russia with the nuclear weapon that Russia has got. No, you can't. You can't think that with the power that China has now yielded, that you're going to just go over there and go and walk all over China. There's no way you could do that anymore. And China and Russia coming together simply means the end of the U.S. power and control. Now, it's not only affecting the U.S., it's affecting European countries that have always been working as a bloc who regard everybody else as inferior. If you look at what is happening in France at the moment, okay, remember, one of the most racist countries is France in any event. Okay, so France, Germany, the U.K., all these, look at the chaos and the mayhem that they've caused together. Now they've realized for the first time there is a serious threat to their global superpower, or the power that they, or control that they've had over the rest of the globe. And they're not going to give up easily. But, you know, if you look at even the issue of the Russian president, the Americans have even planned to assassinate him, you know, to blow up his plane. That's how bad the situation is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, then, as you say, you know, there's an agenda that America is pushing forward, perhaps using, you know, Ukraine as a sacrificial lamb, as many will say. But moving on, Ahmed, it says the U.S. government has won.
They do the same thing in Asia. They use certain people. All the division you have in the different countries, even in Sudan, now, they have their hands on it. When they want what you have, they will cause chaos. They will support the one against the other. Many of these terrorist organizations are created and funded by these people.
Yeah, the ISIS crisis and all those things. You know what? Who's doing all the splicing and all the editing there? We know exactly what happened. And, you know, we believe that Wikipedia has dumped all Hillary Clinton's dirty files onto public platform now. And all these things are coming through. Well, moving on, human trafficking says U.S. Department they're looking at the human and trafficking in South Africa. And the U.S. government has warned the South Africa was struggling in efforts to eliminate human trafficking, although it said the country has made some significant strides. But this is a very, Important issue here in this country, the human trafficking. I mean, so much of drugs. South Africa have been used as a conduit for drugs, and now we just read an article. A big bus came from West Germany and so forth. What's happening to this country? We have all the criminalities beside we imploding with our own criminals here, but there's an international criminal syndicate in this country running amok, making mayhem here, Ahmad.
Yes, one of the problems is because all these relevant departments are working in silos. They don't work together. That's the first problem. Police has got its own budget, does its own thing. Defense got its own budget, does its own thing. Commerce has got its own budget, doing their own thing. This is the problem. So they don't come together. There's no collaborative effort to try and deal with all these. That's the first thing. Secondly, our borders, remember, a very great percentage of our borders are not even security fenced or anything of that nature. People can just walk over and things like that. That is the problem. And in the absence of proper border control, it makes it very easy for them to do them. But even last week, I think some of them were arrested with three foreigners or so. They found some women that were being trafficked into South Africa, particularly for the sex trade and things like that. And these are happening mainly by the Nigerians, Congolese, and many others. But the question we need to ask is, how are they able to get into the country, even if the borders and things? How do they get in here, stay in here for a period of time? Of course, only by chance some of these people get found. And it clearly indicates a lot more needs to be done in terms of border control. A lot more needs to be done. I mean, can you imagine a whole lot of children that are being trafficked from one of the neighboring countries and they're coming into the other and nobody basically spots them and land there? How is it humanly possible with all the measures that we got that these things? So there's a lot of collusion and corruption that is going on with enforcement in these areas. That's what's making it easy. But yes, you are correct. South Africa is a haven for crime. People are finding it a lot easier. Like I said to you, what I was told in Kenya, that if a police takes a criminal, go, you don't find the criminal again and nobody asks any questions. Finish. That's it. That's how bad the situation is. You don't find this happening in Zimbabwe at all. No way. You will not find this happening in Zimbabwe. But yet you will find Zimbabweans, the criminals in Zimbabwe will come and do it in South Africa because the environment is conducive. You get all kinds of protection and you get everything. So that's the problem that we are facing. We need a criminal justice system that must be decisive in how you deal with these things. That's one of the problems we've got. But if you don't deal with your border control as well, you're going to have a serious problem. I mean, let me ask a question. How difficult it is right now as we speak, Home Affairs, SARS, police, defense force, to go to the length and breadth of South Africa, starting from particular metros areas and rounding out all the people that are undocumented illegally in South Africa. How difficult is that? Do you find those operations? Once in a while, for one day. Three-quarters of the people already know you're coming, so they're going to hide somewhere. So if you can't put these operations in place consistently so that you'll deter these people from being in the country and coming into the country and staying here unlawfully, illegally, you're not going to solve the problem. And I think it is very easy for them to do that. Because in no country are you allowed to go and stay there undocumented. But in South Africa, it's a free-for-all. So I think a lot can be done. It's not difficult to be able to deal with this problem. What we don't have is the commitment to be able to deal with this. That is the problem. And it comes back to leadership. If you don't have the right kind of people leading these institutions, you wouldn't be able to make effective change and deal with this problem decisively. That's the problem we have.
Yeah, we're talking about operations, Ahmad, and Operation Shane, and crackdown on crime yields a positive results. I'm just reading a paragraph for you from this article. It says, National Police Commissioner General Fani Masamola provided an update on the nationwide highly densely operation known as Operation Shanela during a media briefing held at Vanderbilt Park. Masamola highlighted the recent achievements of the operation and addressed other relevant issues of a public interest. And he says a significant progress in reducing crime has been achieved. Perhaps this was only window dressing, because we look at what is happening in the East Rwanda with the in Foxburg. With the Zamazamas, you know, the gas incidents, and they're living in informal settlement where the police, they can't even get in there because of the congestion, and maybe some mafia tactics are being used and so forth. I mean, this window dressing will get the police force nowhere, Ahmad.
Brother Jawad, I said before, and I say it again, the levels of crime in South Africa is beyond the control of the South African police services. They do not have the human resource, neither do they have the capacity to be able to deal with this problem. A problem of policing in South Africa, police are supposed to be preventing crime. They are dealing with crime after it's committed. So the focus of attention is on arresting people who committed crime rather than preventing the crime. What are the contributing factors to crime which you're supposed to deal with? We are not dealing with them. Illegal, undocumented foreigners in the country. I mean, look at the illegal mining for them. These illegal miners are living amongst the community in those shacks, and we were told that from the inside of a shack is an entry point into the mine. When they bring those things up, they are sorting it out and polishing it and doing all kinds of things in those communities where they are living. Now, these shack dwellers know who they are. They know they're part of them. They're all living there. They will do nothing about it until, of course, a tragedy of the nature we've heard of the other day. But they live amongst these people in the shack. In fact, they are running a riot in those areas. Our locals cannot even live there comfortably. Even the neighboring communities got a serious problem. Now, we're doing nothing about it. I said again, like we just said, why isn't there an effort, you know, with the different departments coming together and dealing with this? We've been there, we've identified problems, we've come back, we've reported. Very little or nothing is happening. It's like communities living underground in these mining communities. But the important thing to note here is this. On the one hand, the minister and the commissioner now is talking about some of the operations. But levels of crime, remember, criminals, they migrate. When they know police are hot on the heels in Joburg, they will go to Durban. If they're hot on the heels in Durban, they'll go to Cape Town. The law enforcement, you can put another 100,000 or 200,000 officers on the ground. These are all inexperienced. In any event, you're not going to solve the problem. You need to deal with the issue of undocumented foreigners. You need to deal with the high unemployment rate. You need to deal with substance abuse in the country. You need to deal with all these challenges if you want to create a better environment in South Africa. And nobody is tackling those things. Each one, again, is working in silos. So you have a problem. You know you've got a massive problem with alcohol in the country. You want to introduce it, the sale of alcohol into schools. Where are you heading to? Look at the amount of arrest that is made alone with drugs. Right? Every other week, there are massive police success. But these are just the tip in the iceberg. How many more people? How is it coming in here? Your borders, again, is a problem. People are producing it. There are factories producing drugs and things in the country, getting away with it. So if they can come together, you can deal with these problems. But when the commissioner comes out and says he's got a success, he talks about the one success. He doesn't talk about the nine losses. That is the crux of the problem. So it's very misleading, and I'm not disputing the fact that there are some very honest police officers, yes, and there is great success, particularly the Hawks have been making some great success, but there's a high level of corruption as well, which is not helping the cause. So again, I want to say the success that the police are talking about is limited compared to what is happening. I gave you stats the other day on the number of cash-in-transit heists already, just for the month of June, all over the country. And you can see exactly what is going on. There's a rise in these levels of crime. Kidnapping is on the rise. Murder is on the rise. Rape is on the rise. Look at the protest action that you're getting all over the country. Now that you've got the elections coming, can you imagine? Where is the police going to concentrate on? On what? You should be preventing those things.
No,
not.
So no, absolutely. You know, understanding of as you said, prevention is better than cure, but it seems as if, you know, it's beyond, you know, prevention. Is everything gone into a pandemic mode? Or it's gone beyond our control. But Ahmed, you were, as usual, mashallah this morning. Perhaps your parting words before we let you go.
Well, be careful of the protest that's taking place all over. Remember, brothers and sisters, it's election times. So when it's election time, people will, even political parties will come and encourage you and entice you to protest. You understand, and this is what is going to happen. You can see what is happening in Fundrenans. I urge people to stay completely away from those areas. Because I can tell you it's very volatile at the moment, and you're going to have a whole lot more of that. So be mindful when you're on the roads, particularly. And also the weather conditions are reported that are going to be quite adverse in Durban, Gauteng, Western Cape, Eastern Cape, Northern Cape's affected. So be very careful of the poor weather conditions, and you know the weather, the roads are not good as well.
JazakAllah khair, Ahmed. You have a mashallah beautiful day ahead. I'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.